Take your Bibles with me, would you please? And towards the back of your Bible, we will find the book of 3 John. It's only one page long, so don't skip over it. If you will turn to 3 John, I am going to read this entire... I'm going to read the entire book of 3 John. And then we'll have prayer and begin the message this morning. The elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. You would do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought, therefore, to show hospitality to such men so that we may work together for the truth. I wrote to the church about Diotrephes, who loves to be first. We'll have nothing to do with him. If I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here, their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. Now let's, may God add blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray, and then we will look into this passage of scripture. Father, thank you this morning for the truth again you have given unto us, and for the time I've had in studying it, and the sights in which you have, the things that you have revealed unto me through the study I've had of your scriptures this week. And Father, I pray this morning that by your Spirit you would put all these things together to present your truth this morning to your people by this your servant. And Father, I give you thanks and I give you praise for the good things you are doing in our midst. And I give you thanks and praise for the things I desire and pray that you continue to do. We pray for Bible school this week, and we pray now for the messages which we give, that you have given unto me, in which I give. I pray that you would bless now this your speaker and these those who receive of your word, as we receive it by your Spirit and as your truth. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray, and for his glory that I ask all things. In his name we pray. Amen.
One for each other and all for one. The three brave amigos are we. Brother to brother and everyone. A brave amigo. Wherever they need us, our destinies lead us. Amigos, we're always together. Wherever we go, we're three brave amigos, and we'll be amigos forever. We are the three amigos. We are the three amigos. We are the three.
That's the way it started back in, I believe it is, 1986, The Three Amigos. Now, how many of you, if I were to say The Three Amigos, without having seen that, would have known exactly what I was talking about? All right, just in case you didn't, that's why I played that little bit, because this morning we're not going to look at The Three Amigos as in, you know, Chevy Chase and Steve Martin and who was the other one? Help me out a little bit there. Martin Short. We're going to look at the Three Amigos of 3 John. Did you see the Three Amigos in there? One of them by the name of Gaius, one of them by the name of Diotrephes, and one of them by the name of Demetrius. These three men are the reason why John writes his third epistle to the people in the church that he writes to. And these are the three men to whom he makes reference to when he writes. And what I want to do this morning is look at these three men, try to draw some principles from these men as to what we need to do in order to be able to try and do the work which God calls us to do. And in the end, the bottom line is to review ourselves and to say, which am I? Now, I hope as I read it, you already got a little bit of a glimpse. And I hope as I go through it, you will be able to say, maybe, yeah, I'd like to be that one. No, I don't want to be that one. And maybe I am that one. But this morning, I want to look at these, what I've called to be the three unamigos, the three that are not friends, as we look at 3 John and try to understand what God would say to us this morning. And so I want to begin, first of all, as I look at the three men mentioned in 3 John, I want to begin by looking at the man by the name of Gaius. The title that I've given to Gaius is Gaius is the faithful friend. You'll see it here very clearly in Scripture as John begins it. He calls him, my dear friend Gaius. Verse 2, my dear friend. Verse 5, dear friend. And verse 11, dear friend. So throughout the Gospels, or excuse me, throughout the 3 John, John is constantly referring to Gaius as his dear friend. But the other thing we also see about Gaius as his faithful friend is the fact that he's referred to him as being faithful. Verse 3, it gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth. And then as well, verse 5, dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing. And so we see here that Gaius is the one being described as John as his faithful dear friend. Now, how many of you will say, I have a faithful dear friend? Hopefully you do. Hopefully you have someone that you can turn to when things are maybe going difficult. Hopefully you have someone that you share your joys with as well as your sorrows with. For John, Gaius was his dear friend, and he makes reference to him as he begins his letter here in 3 John. And so as we look at Gaius, his faithful friend, the first thing we want to see is the fact that Gaius is one who is faithful to the truth. You see it in verse 1, whom I love in the truth. You see it in verse 3, your faithfulness to the truth, and how you continue to walk in the truth. And at the end of verse 4, you're walking in the truth. And so we see here in even verse 8 that we need to have so men so that we may work together for the truth. And so we see that when Gaius refers to his friend, or excuse me, when John refers to his friend Gaius, he says Gaius is not just a faithful friend whom I love. We'll look at that in just a moment. But he says he's a faithful friend who's been faithful to the truth. And so Gaius is his good friend. Now, when he talks about being faithful to the truth, he's talking about the truth of the gospel. He's talking about the truth of the word. He's talking about the truth of who Jesus is. Because if you remember last week, and you can't remember clear back to 1 John, but John constantly is warning them of those who are in their midst who are not holding to the truth that Jesus has come in the flesh. But his dear friend Gaius is one who's a dear friend who's holding to the truth that has been presented to him by John. And so Gaius is one who's been faithful to the truth. But secondly, Gaius is one as well who's been truthful to the gospel. Gaius is one who here has remained and walked in that truth. He's been faithful to the truth, verse 3, and he continues to walk in that truth. And as well, I'm going to get to it in just a moment, but the third point, I'll just put it up here. He's helpful to the message. Now let me back up. I want to look at just a couple of verses a little bit more clearly, and then I want to flesh out the last point of the understanding of Gaius being a faithful friend. First of all, verse 2, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you. Now, how many say that's a pretty good introduction, isn't it? Don't you like that? I pray that, hey, you're having a good day. Literally, the word there that all is going well with you literally means that you are having a good journey. How many of you have said to somebody who's taking a vacation, well, have a nice trip? That in essence is what John is writing to Gaius. Hey, Gaius, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that you may have a good trip on the way, that it may go well with you and as well with your soul. Now, I bring this up because it's been brought to my attention in the past that this passage is talking about the fact that God wants us all to be in good health. And that because God wants us all to be in good health, if you're not in good health, maybe it's because you have sin in your life. Now, I say that because I want to show how sometimes scriptures can be seen in a good light, but twisted in a negative light. There's a sense in which when John gives this blessing to his dear friend Gaius, he simply is saying he prays that he could enjoy good health. How many of you really pray that you can enjoy good health? But how many of you say there have been times in which I haven't? And so is there not a sense in which all of us pray that we would be of good health and in good health? And yet at the same time, we recognize that that's God's decision and God's determination. I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you. Again, John's encouragement is that for Gaius, his life, things would go well for him. It's the same encouragement that we say when we bless one another or when we say, hey, have a good day. I hope things go well for you. It's the same encouragement that we often give to one another. And then he goes on, even as your soul is getting along well. I do believe here that John does make a connection between what I'm going to call the physical realm in which we live, our health, our physical body, and as well, our soul. The word there is psyche, our psychology, our understanding of our soul as well. And I do believe that we need to understand that the two go together. That our physical bodies can affect our mental state. Can they not? How many of you wake up and you're sore in the morning and it can get pretty depressing to have to be sore all the time? And the physical and the psychological can go together. And how many of us also realize that we can wake up depressed in the morning and not have any energy to get things done? And so we do see the connection, I believe, that the fact that our mental state and our physical state and our psychological state, all of these things interact together. So that we as a whole human being can enjoy good health as we go our way, and our soul can likewise also, or as so also goes with your soul, as it goes well as well. And so John encourages his friend Gaius, not only in being faithful to the truth and truthful to the gospel, but he encourages him to be in good health, and that everything could go well with him, even as your soul is going well as well. Now, let me come to the last point. Helpful to the message. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing. For the brothers, even though they are strangers to you, they have told the church about your love. You would do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. And we ought therefore to show hospitality to such men so that we may work together for the truth. Here I see John's challenge to Gaius as his faithful friend to not only that you're remaining in the truth and that you're continuing in the love and being truthful to the gospel, but that you're helping others along their way. Now, we looked at that last week. Last week in 2 John, John says, be careful because there are coming those who are not good teachers, who are those who are disobeying the truth. And you remember we talked about when they come knocking on your door, what should you do? Don't let them in. That's what he said. But here he's giving the flip side. Because Gaius is being a faithful servant, and when the fellow followers from the other churches that John has sent to them, when they're coming and they're passing through, Gaius is the one on whose door everybody's knocking. Because Gaius is saying, yeah, come on in. I'd be glad to help you out. And not only, I don't really like the word that they're using here of showing hospitality. Literally, the word is more of he's taking responsibility to care for them and to meet their needs. Our understanding today is the fact that hospitality is, yeah, come on in, I'll have a cup of coffee and a donut. We're being hospitable. But for Gaius, his hospitality was more of he's opening up his home to them, and he is as well financially supporting them in the work they need to have done. And so we see Gaius's helpfulness here as we see Gaius welcoming those into his home and sending them on their way in a manner worthy of God. Now, if I asked you, how many of you want to live your life in a manner worthy of God? Everybody would say, yeah, I do. Here, Gaius is helping other people in the work of the gospel that they are doing. As missionaries are being sent forth, as the word of God is being proclaimed, Gaius is saying, I want to be there for you. I want to be helpful. Now, I put in my notes here this morning that many times people don't see what we're doing. It happens in the church quite often. All right? How many of you have served in the nursery and taken care of the babies? Hopefully, but how many of you have done it and nobody even said thank you afterwards? All right? My point. All right. Every Sunday morning, how many of you are glad to have a cup of coffee? How many of you even see that Shannon's back there making coffee and getting ready, or that Judy is cutting stuff up and that Judy's getting ready? My point is that many things in the church go unnoticed. And they're acts of hospitality. They're just being helpful. They're just doing the work. I was talking to somebody even just this morning because I said, did you pull the weeds out of the driveway out here? Because I noticed it, that somebody had pulled weeds. My point is the fact that oftentimes there are things that go without being even noticed. And even if they're noticed, then things are not even said about it. So my point to Gaius this morning is we need to be people who not only are helpful, but let's see what's getting done and see who's doing it and tell them thank you for what you are doing. Now this week we'll have all kinds of reasons and times to thank people for what they are doing and the work that they have to have done. But folks, Gaius was one that they were seeing the work that he was doing and they were telling others about it. Verse 6, they have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. Now, I want to just pick on one more little point. And maybe that wasn't the best word, but I want to just hit on just a little bit here. It was for the sake of the name that they went out receiving no help from the pagans. What's he talking about? I believe John's talking about the missionaries that he is sending out and that have passed through Ephesus home have done so having received no help from anybody else but the church. They were able to be self-sustaining as the church supported the work that they were doing. Now, after the message this morning, the girls are going to come and share video slides and things like that of their missions trip to Mexico. And we do want to say thank you to many of you and to the church who helped support them. Because they didn't have to raise support from people outside of the work of the ministry. Now, if they had sent out letters, and let's just say, I don't want to be too specific here, but let's just say a relative sent them $100, and the relative who sent them the $100 is an atheist, but wants their work to be done. Now, to my knowledge, that's not in my family. I'm using this for illustration point, okay? Does that mean they're not supposed to receive that $100 because it was sent by an atheist? Because they're going to be doing the work of the Lord. My point is this becomes a difficult verse to try to understand. I will just simply say this, and again, I'm walking away. I've probably come down here. I have made it a practice of our church that in fundraising for our church, and Ryan will be doing it this coming year if he wants to take kids to Kansas City, and it's $500 a kid. That's just the registration plus the transportation to get them there. And if he wants to take five kids at $500 a kid, you do the math. He needs to raise over $3,000 to get the kids there. Now, on the one end, I do believe the fact that as a church, we need to support that ministry. Anybody want to amen that besides Ryan? And at what point in time in the fundraising do we start looking then for other ways to raise funds from those not as a part of the church? For you see, I firmly believe, and that's why I'm standing down here rather than up there, because it's I firmly believe that the work of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ falls firmly upon the shoulders who claim Jesus Christ, not upon those who don't. If Ryan wants to do a car wash and people come in and we wash their car and they give us a $5 or $10 donation or even a $100 donation, are we going to say, I'm sorry, we can't take that? Or even yet, I'll just kind of throw this one out kind of, because what happens if, I'm just going to pick on Brooke because she's standing right here. If Brooke buys a lottery ticket and she wins the lotto, and she decides she's going to give a good, faithful Christian tither that she is. She's going to give 10% to the church. Is it evil money? I'm just saying that Gaius was a faithful friend. He was faithful to the church, or faithful to the gospel and to the truth, and he was faithful to help in the ministry. Now again, we have maintained the work that we have done here. And again, I don't say this to sound braggish. If I do, forgive me, Lord, and forgive me those who hear of it and may be offended by it. I'm just simply saying we have done what we've done here by the faithfulness of God and the helpfulness of His people. You can amen that if you want to. The work that has been done here has been done because we believe God calls us to do His work. That's why I haven't had any garage sales. I haven't had any bazaars. We do the chili supper, but the chili supper sends all the money where? Back to the community. So that we are a church that gives, not a church which seeks to get from those around us. Does that make sense? Have I hovered on that long enough? And so if you want to say get on with it, say get on with it, Don. All right, let's get on with it. Let's get off it and get on with it, okay? Gaius was a helpful friend. I'm telling you, when you preach to this text, scriptures, and you come to that text, this is my time I got to preach on it because that's the text. Now, let's move on. Verse 8, I must say, therefore, we ought therefore to show hospitality. And again, to show responsibility to such men so they may work together for the truth. That's the bottom line. We are working together for the truth, being responsible for the gospel and the proclamation and the support of the gospel ministry. Amen? All right, on to secondly. If you think I got going on Gaius, wait till Diotrephes comes. All right, here we go. Second one. I wrote to the church by Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. Boy, there's a lot of places I can go with this one. Diotrephes is the one who what? Help me out. Diotrephes is the one who what? Help me out. Wants to be first. In Diotrephes' thinking, I am number one. In Diotrephes' thinking, I am the one who is in charge here. I am the one who is in control here. I am the one through whom everything must pass and everything must be done. Now, I recognize that that can happen in a church. I recognize that in a church there can rise up a person, a family of influence, a person of influence that seems to think that it all has to do with me and with my. And when that mental attitude comes in, the problem is, and I have to confess this because I've been here long enough and I've pastored the church long enough, that it can become a situation in which this is seen as my church. And that's Diotrephes. Diotrephes is the one who loves to be first. Now, I put down here four qualities or four ways in which we can see the person who wants to be first. First of all, we see that Diotrephes wants to be first by the way he sees himself. John describes him as the one who loves to be first. Now, how many of you remember going through grade school? You get out of gym and there is a race to the drinking fountain. Why? Because everyone wants to be first. How many of you recognize, now I realize that when we have a potluck, it's usually kind of like everybody stands back because nobody wants to go first. But how many of you recognize when things are being handed out, it's like, I want to be there first. I don't believe that's what Gaius is talking about, or John is talking about Diotrephes. I don't think he's the one who always wants to be first in line. He's just the one who wants to be first in charge. Now, even with that, may I remind you, just think about this, because I was thinking about this as I meditated upon this past week. When Jesus was going to not to Gethsemane, but actually when Jesus was going to the upper room, and in John 13, where he washes the disciples' feet, and that whole scene of what's happening there in the last days of Jesus' life, let me ask you this question. If you remember, what are James and John arguing about? Who's going to be first? Yeah, this John was one who was fighting with his brother. I want to be first. No, I get to be first. In fact, they get mother involved, and mother even asked Jesus, Jesus, will you let one of them sit at the right hand and one of them at the left hand? So at least make them number one and number two. So I find John's words to Diotrephes, shall I say, rather cautious. For John himself knew what it was like to try to be number one. And so Diotrephes was the one who saw himself be the first person. The one through whom all must pass. Secondly, I put down here, we see Diotrephes by the way he acts towards others. He loves to be first. He will have nothing to do with us. He won't respond to me. He won't acknowledge me. He won't have anything to do with me. When you get a Diotrephes attitude, it becomes one of I am up here and they are down here and I will have nothing to do with them. And so we see Diotrephes' attitude in the way in which he deals with the other people, the way he acts with others. So if I come, I will call attention to what he's doing. Notice it even goes beyond that. The way you see yourself will come out in the way you speak about others. Whether you say yourselves as high and mighty or low and humble, it will come out in the way you speak about others. I will call attention to what he's doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Now, if this was the Apostle Paul writing, I think he probably would have wrote a little bit differently. The Apostle Paul would have been more, I will call him out for what he's doing. John simply says, I will call attention to it. I will point it out. Not satisfied with gossiping maliciously about that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. By the way he speaks about others, and then fourthly, by the way he controls people. The way he controls things. The ones that Gaius is hospitably opening up his home and welcoming, Diotrephes is saying, no way, shut the door. We're not having any of those type of people around here. Now, may I gently caution us that if we ever get to the point where we are a church that says those type of people aren't welcome here, then we're in trouble. Then we're being Diotrephes. People who are divorced aren't welcome here. Then we're being Diotrephes. Single moms aren't welcome here. Then we're Diotrephes. Kids who run around and color on the walls are not welcome here. You see my point? Diotrephes wanted to keep everything neat and tidy and all under control. His control. And he stopped the work of the ministry for himself. He also stops those who want to do so. No, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. People, I want to share my heart here because my heart is all about people doing ministry. We let John and Sammy light these candles every week, and any other child that wants to do it can do it. All right, so if you want to light the candles, let us know that you want to light the candles and we'll let you do it. I think at one time we set a grade limit, like I think you had to be second grade in order to do it because we don't want anybody lighting anybody's hair on fire or doing anything, you know, crazy like that. And I am grateful for the fact that they light candles. Now, those who come from the tradition of the fact that we got to have lit candles in a church, they understand it because it's the light of the light has come. Jesus is the light. He's come here. He's amongst us. And the light goes out with us. For me, the reason I do it is because I want two kids to be able to be involved in the work of the ministry of our church. I'm all about doing ministry. And I'll be real honest with you. I don't like people that say, no, you can't do that. Or we've never done that. If it advances the ministry of the goodness of the gospel of Christ. Diotrephes stopped those who wanted to do so and put them out of the church. Thirdly, and with this I close, Demetrius, the fruitful follower. Demetrius, now, verse 11, dear friends, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does evil has not seen God. So you recognize him again. It goes back to Jesus saying, you will recognize them by their fruit. Ones who do good, imitate them. Ones who do evil have not seen God. Don't imitate them. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself, we also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. Let me put these last two points that I put down here concerning Demetrius. First of all, number one, Demetrius has a witness from others. Other people are talking about what Demetrius is doing. Now, it's very likely that Demetrius here is the one to whom John gave the letter to send. That Demetrius is the one who's carrying the letter to Gaius. Could be, we don't know. It doesn't say, I've sent the letter with Demetrius. But many people believe that Demetrius is the one who's carrying out the will of John by delivering this letter. But what we do see is Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone. How would you like that on your tombstone? He was spoken well of by everyone. Not only was Demetrius spoken well of by everyone, but even the truth speaks well of Demetrius. He's a witness from the truth. As he bears witness to the truth. And so Demetrius here is the one who's a faithful witness. Again, I don't like the NIV translation. It's well spoken of. Literally it is. Demetrius is a witness or testimony, bears testimony by everyone. Because unfortunately, three times the same word is used, and it's the used martruo, which means to bear witness to or to bear testimony of. Demetrius is bear witness of Demetrius. Even the truth itself bears witness, and we speak well of him, and you know our testimony bears witness. And so you lose that in the NIV translation when three times he says, Demetrius bears witness to the truth. I pray that our church continues to bear witness to the truth. And that were spoken well of by everyone else. Now the close. I spoke about it last week. I have much to write to you, but I don't want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk, what? Face to face. I made the mention last week. I'll just mention it. There's times in which we need to put down our cell phones, stop texting and Facebooking, and just plain face to face sit down and talk to one another. We're losing it. And people today are communicating too much and getting to know one another too little. And that's why we have a world or a nation right now that's in turmoil over what's going on. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there. See what it says? Doesn't say, greet the friends there. Greet them what? By name. I've been fortunate that I may have been able to serve a small enough church that I can know everybody's name. Now, I have to admit, those of you who are over 60 might admit it with me, it's getting harder to remember everybody's name. But it still is the fact that if ministry is personal and upfront and in the face, so to speak, face to face, get to know one another's name. Amen?